Aladdin.
Aladdin. That was your second U.S. hit.
Yes, they played the heck out of it, I tell you.
It must have been huge in Canada.
Oh, big. Top 10 everywhere
here. I love the sound of that record. I think it's a really sweet-sounding record.
You know, I remember recording it because a gentleman by the name of Cliff Parman did the string parts. Mm-hmm. And when we heard the string parts, you have to remember that in those days, there was no overdubbing. Everybody was on the floor in the room recording it live. It was live to tape those days.
Right.
And when we first went to Nashville, it was like a 2 or 3 track, and then it went to 4 track, and then eventually 8 track. But this, I think, was done in 4 track.
You could start punching in at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to go back, and they'd punch. You know what they did.
Oh, yeah.
But when we heard those string parts on the floor, everybody had goosebumps. Like, the record in the 1 or 2 previous early rehearsals on it, on the floor, everybody just lit up. And I remember Bill saying, "We got to record this." So he pushed all the buttons in, and as we were learning it, he was recording it.
How did it get an American release? Like, not all of your records were picked up in the U.S. Now, how did it have to become a mega, mega hit in Canada for it to be picked up, or did you have some kind of a deal? Like, how'd it work?
Well, the thing was it was actually Bob Keane at Delphi Records, and
sure.
Delphi had, you know, Ritchie Valens, Sam Cooke, Johnny Crawford from the Riflemen those days.
Yeah.
But he decided... And my management. So I was sort of out of the loop on all of that. I was just the artist in that sense. I toured frantically with Fortune Teller all over America, mm-hmm. and kept going there. And I don't know how they picked the songs. Like, I'm not sure how that happened. But I wish they would have put Three Rows Over out. I mean, you have some things that you wished you could have changed, but
sure.
it's sort of out of your hands. That's where the managers take over, and you got to trust them to do the best thing. And, you know, I always said I was so thankful for the success that we were so lucky to achieve, and I was so thrilled to come from Canada and be known as Canada's rock and roll singer, Bob Giacola,
yeah.
because if it wasn't for those small towns in Canada, nothing would have ever happened for me. So looking back, I mean, I'm a small town guy that got to go to the city, you know. It was really an incredible, incredible experience for me.
And there were plenty of other singers born in Canada that were doing well in the U.S. I mean, you have Paul Anka, you got the
Paul
Diamonds.
Anka, what a gentleman, and brilliant writer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
An artist. He's given the world so much music. He's a dear friend, and I admire him so much. And a quick story. His dad, Andy, when he was alive, was helping manage his son, and he was right in the middle of it all. And when Paul recorded My Way and got it to Frank, Andy said, "Bobby, you can't believe it. We thought it was good before. You have no idea." And Paul never looked back. I mean, can you imagine giving the world that song? Never mind the Tonight Show theme. I mean,
exactly.
And he's such a gentleman. He's one of the rare ones in our business that's a businessman and an entertainer.
Yep.
He's a great guy.
Absolutely. Now, Jack Scott was born in Canada as well.
Jack's a good friend, actually. And there's a guy that's underestimated and never... I don't think that he got as much recognition as he truly deserved.
I totally agree with you. We play him every night on this program, and everyone loves Jack Scott. But yes, he did not score the hits he should have scored back in the day.
His records were fantastic, and I know Jack. I mean, we used to tour together, and yeah. I'm a fan. Like, his songs were fantastic. And listen, this is a guy that did it all. He wrote them everything.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's just a great guy.
He's a paisan too, isn't he?
Ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Scafone.
That's it. Manage. We're all backstage singing a little Chillalura.
So you were touring also with Dick Clark's Caravan of Stars, right?
Yes. You know, Dick was really great with me. Like, he was so kind. You can imagine, I'm a kid listening to the radio, and Dick Clark, well, my God.
Did you play Bandstand?
Well, back then, he was number one in North America. I mean, he was rock and roll. If you got on Bandstand, that was it. You had arrived.
Yeah.
And I played Bandstand a couple of times, and he was so nice to me. The first time I was there, because I had been touring in the States for a while, he asked me, he says, "Well, come on, you're Canadian. I'm married to a Canadian." He was married to a Canadian girl at that time, and he says, "Come on, Bobby, show these guys how Canadians talk. Say house and about." And there I go. I was supposed to go house and about, but I'm in America for a while. Now I'm going house and about. What are you doing? Go sing the song. But Dick and I were great friends, and when he launched his radio show in Canada, I was asked to tour the stations and do the promo tour to launch it, and I did, and we were on the plane together doing the Cross Canada thing and the pitch, and of course I was singing Coca-Cola for Coca-Cola then too, so they were one of the sponsors, so we were great comrades all through it, and years later in Las Vegas, he decided to bring some of the shows to Vegas, and I was thrilled to be helpful to him there, because I had actually gotten lucky in the early 70s when, you know, my managers were pretty smart guys. We retired from the arena concerts while we were still filling some of them, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got the tour. My first nightclub appearance was a tour with Louis Armstrong. I was Louis's opening act. And, of course, there I am now in the suit and trying to look dignified and nervous because before, you know, in the arenas, the girls are there and the boyfriends are there. Everybody's really treating you right. But now in the nightclub, the parents are there, too. So, and everybody's pretty close. So I was a wreck. Like, I was just, you know what.
Yeah.
And Louis used to come backstage every show, and he'd pat me on the cheeks there, and he'd say, "Get out there, kid. Just be yourself." He was there every show before I went on.
That's amazing.
A gentleman.
That's amazing that you opened for Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, he was so good to me. And actually, there was a promoter out of Calgary named Jaime Garshman, who used to bring the junkets to Vegas. Jaime was instrumental in turning the wheel in Las Vegas to get me an audition down there with Howard Hughes Hotels because they had just opened up. And because of the Louis Armstrong connection, Louis's people pushed the button. It was Louis that actually got me in there. So you can imagine, there I am in Las Vegas with Walter Kane, who used to run RKO Pictures for Howard Hughes. And, of course, all the other casinos got the big nightclub act signed up. So I'm there for about 3 days waiting to see this guy. Sammy Davis is walking by, Kurt Coulet. So everybody, all these, I'm shaking, right? What am I doing here?
Wow.
And I finally get in to meet with Mr. Kane, with my management, and after a while, the girls got friendly with me, so they're talking. You know, it's like a Donald O'Connor movie, Matt. Mm-hmm. There I am, and they're talking about me like I'm a piece of meat. No, no, you know, money. But so, his secretary, Eleanor Grasso, she shakes her head like this. She goes quiet. She lifts the vestibule up, and you know the used to have the record players in the vestibule there.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
So she puts one of my LPs on, and this is 1971, I think. And she puts the B-side on, and the B-side has got, the opening tune is Rose Garden. I covered it. So she says,
I beg your pardon, I didn't promise you a Rose Garden song?
Honest to God. So I get up, these guys are talking, the guy's got the cigar, and they're like, you know, they're like a Donald O'Connor movie. So I stand up and I go, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a Rose Garden, along with the sunshine." And I do a little spin, right? This guy goes back in his chair, he says, "You got the job." Girls stop typing in the other room. They're all looking in. They're all laughing and applauding. After three or four days there, I finally get in there. He gives me the job. I start in the lounge where Sinatra started.
Oh, wow.
In the Gold Cup Lounge at the Sands Hotel.
Yep.
And I'm in the audience, you know, fooling around, having fun. I love the participation thing. But that's not unusual if you're Italian, right? Because that's
right.
What we did. Everybody sang together.
Exactly.
So I'm out there with the cord going through the lounge with the chairs and everything. He's on his hands and knees trying to figure out if I got a wireless mic or not. Because he can't figure out how I back up and do all of this without tangling the cord. But Walter, he changed my life. That guy, again, like out of left field, he hired me over the Americans and gave me a multi-million dollar contract because everybody was fooling around with him in the negotiations. He says, "You know what? You've been so good to us and everything else." He says, I'm going to put you there first. I'm going to tell everybody you got the first deal, and it's going to be for lots of money because I want to teach him a lesson." And he did. I had a 5-year contract open-ended,
yeah,
and I worked for the Hughes Hotels for 20 years. Thanks.
Did you really? Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
That's a great story.
It's true. I just, I should have bought a lottery ticket back then.
Bobby,
I was really on a roll.
You're a you're a character and a half. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm still having fun.
So your first LP was called Hitchhiker.
Yes.
And of course contained the single Hitchhiker.
Yes, it did.
So tell me about that song.
Well, Hitchhiker was our first session in Nashville. Now, you can imagine, from going from the local radio stations to Nashville, Tennessee, I tell everybody the vibrato in my voice was fear. I couldn't believe that I was actually standing there doing this
right,
with all of these people I had read about. Like, Like, it was so surreal. And but they were so kind. They encouraged you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was really incredible. It was like a whole different life. And there I'd be down there recording and back to high school just after the session, you know, in between all of this. But it was like a dream world. And those people were so fantastic. They took what was ordinary and made it special. And I'll forever be grateful to Bill Porter.
Let's hear Hitchhiker.
Yeah, let's hear it. I'm a hitchhiker on the road to love.
I'm a hitchhiker on the road to love. I've been waiting long on this lonely road, waiting for the one I've been dreaming of. For I'm a hitchhiker on the road to love. I'm a hitchhiker with a lonely song. I've been praying you would soon come along. I'm a ride with you to the stars. Till the day I die, we'll always remember you. But I know that I, till the day I die, will always remember you.
Oh, those girls aren't blue anymore, Bobby.
Oh,
Little
you
Girl
know what?
Blue.
That was, you know, that song was written because of the fans, like the fan base. Like, I'd always get to sing to the girls at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
My managers wrote a song so I could do that, you know, because the fans were just so good to me. So I used to love singing that song in the show because I got to hold their hands, and instead of running for the next town, I got a kiss on the cheek. You know, it was sort of nice. It was special. I have to tell you, Indian
yeah.
Giver, when I walked on the floor in the studio.
Yeah.
And they did da 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 ba, ba, ba da da da. I said, "What the heck is this? I didn't learn this song." Somebody slid the wrong song in here. I'm in trouble. Like I was a wreck. And I learned the song. You put your ring on my finger, swing where all my friends could see. They told me you'd never linger. So there I am, learning the song again to fit into that. Beat, that shuffle beat.
Yeah.
You put your ring on my finger, da-da.
You were trying to Bobby Darin the song.
Yeah, concentrating. But the Anita Kersingers and the Jordanaires, like, can you imagine being there in the middle of that room and hearing that for the first time? Even if you're the guy recording it. It was awesome.
It was so cool to have the Jordanaires on it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow. Man, you've had such a great career, and you're still touring.
Yeah, it just, like I told you, I planned for that rainy day because I never thought it'd last forever. But that era never went away. And, you know, really, thanks to the DJs that made rock and roll famous, cause by spinning the records, guys like yourself, the celebrities in the business of being a disc jockey, guys like you, Matt, and the fans that you guys listened to and played what they liked, and you created a whole thing that was called rock and roll. You compounded it, and guys like myself and the gals in the business that got to record and even got a chance to play in that whole realm of rock and roll, it was awesome for all of us, because nobody had much in those days, and the lives that were changed because of the music, it's so profound and so astounding. And I'm one of the guys that just wants to say a big thank you to a person like yourself for the commitment you made to the music, and for dragging me along with it, and especially to the fans that you really support in your programming. Like, you're like it was, Matt. You're the best.
Oh, thanks, Bobby.
That's the cat. You're the best.
Thanks, Bobby. Now, if people want to see you live, they should, go to your website to find out where you're going to be performing?
Yeah, that's the best, actually. If you go to Kurtola.com or BobbyKurtola.com, usually there's something there in that what we're doing and where we're going. And I'm actually heading to Markham on the 9th May for a big charitable event for Seniors Home. And they've sold a bunch of tickets, and they're going to make over 100 grand for the charity. And we're going to be able to pay the band and buy dinner. So it's going to all be fun.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a party. You know it'll be a party.
Yeah, so go to BobbyKurtola.com to find out more of what he's doing and get more of his backstory. I think we covered a lot of your backstory.
Oh, you know, you know what? You got me too comfortable, because I'm not telling all the stories out of school, because there's still quite a few we can't talk about on the air. And all I can say is that some of the things you heard about show business that you're wondering if they're true or not, they're true. It really did happen. It's crazy.
That's right. That's right. Bobby,
God bless you, Matt.
It's been a great pleasure, and I wish you all the best. And I hope you come back on the show real soon.
Well, listen, if you want me, I'm coming back.
Well, I want you back.
If you get Chubby Checker on the show, you got to make sure you call me because I'll be the surprise for him.
Okay.
He's my pal. He's great. You got to phone him. And if you need his number, I got it.
All right. We're going to go out with I'll Never Be Alone Again.
God bless you, Matt.
All right. You take it easy, Bobby.
Okay. On the night prowl.
Never be alone again. Now that I've found your love, I'll never, never, never want to roam again. Gotta stay around.